everybody. How's it going? Welcome back. Or thank you for giving us a shot. Whichever it is, it's cool that you're here. I hope you're ready to move forward with the brand new sensation that's sweeping the nation. It's Street Fight Radio. We're telling everybody about it. About getting rid of hierarchy, about putting an end to imperialism, and chilling out and partying more. We are looking to get all y'all that share the flat earth with us to cooperate in a way that doesn't fuck over other people. So if you're on board with that, please join us on this mission. We're launching it from the heart of it all, Columbus, Ohio, capital of the United States and the world, the center of everything, at least in my eyes. And we do it every single week on WCRS, it's Community Radio. We've been there for 6 years. You can listen to us on 92.7 every Sunday at 10 p.m. And if we're in town, if we're not doing a live show, you can hear us take calls live on the air or possibly call yourself by listening on Sundays at 10 p.m. I think we're going to do it again this Sunday, right?
No, I plan to be there on Sunday.
This Sunday at 10 p.m.
Hell, we could even maybe have a guest this Sunday or two guests. Who even knows? We're starting to circle around to having people hanging in the studio thing. Oh, so sorry.
Gross.
Howard Stern now.
WCRSFM.org is how you can listen online if you want to do that. We have a live show in Baltimore, Maryland this Sunday, September 17th. That's the day after the Juggalo March in D.C. We will be down there in solidarity with our Struggalo comrades. Whoop whoop for all ninjas that are listening and maybe even heard our special show, our third show, which I think we're going to release because a bunch of people are bugging me and telling me that we should release it to everybody. But we talked to Kitty Stryker and Rich and Ape about the upcoming Juggalo March and organizing within that big circus tent of ideas. So check that out on patreon.com/streetfightradio. It's one of our bonus shows we do, and we have, you know, more on the way. So
Arish Singh,
yes,
Brett's got an expose on Democrat shit, right?
Yes. I talked to Lubitsa from the Cold Pizza Party podcast about professional activism. You know, to find out what that George Soros money is actually up to in some of these political organizations. It's a really in-depth look. It's like 80 minutes, and we also talked about psychedelic drugs. So it's a really good show. Once again, that's over on our Patreon if you want to hear that one.
I talked to Arish Singh about comedy and politics and more comedy. It's like a kind of a WTF, but in that third show where I make it mostly about me sort of way.
Right.
I guess that's kind of like WTF.
That's the show. It's what's your relationship to the host. Yeah, so how has your day been? I had a very familial day. We had to do a pre-K check-in for my daughter today.
I'm done with a lot of that stuff. So today, I did a podcast, and as soon as I was done with that podcast, I walked down to campus for the Defend DACA rally, Dream Act. It's the Dream Act. I don't know what the CA stands for, but you know, I can't claim to be a smart guy that understands the whole thing. I'm also like extremely privileged in that I'm a white man and nobody will ever accuse me of not being a citizen of the United States. So that's
despite our probably committing treason several times and our frequent request to be removed from the United States of America.
Okay. And you know what? Let me just bring that up. Most of the speeches at this rally were people being ridiculously respectful of the United States of America, like far more respectful than you and I will ever be. It was up on campus. I'm not fond of campus protests. I know that some people prefer them and some people don't. I'm not a, I, I just, I take them where I can get them. You know, if there's a protest happening and they need bodies, I am a big guy. I might count as two bodies.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Amongst college kids.
Big, old, and white. So I go in there. I just go there and usually stand. You know, I'll say this is what democracy look like, okay, or whatever like that. But yeah, I don't
get
like
sassy.
I'm not going to talk. This one, I think the thing that hit me hardest at this one was there were children there. Like, you know, and this Dream Act stuff, this is the sort of thing that is going to separate parents from their children. And that crushes me.
Yeah, over basically what equate to board game rules.
Yeah, do you have a semi-understanding of what this is? I believe that it is, if you're born... Is this the thing? If you're born here, if you're not born here, you're illegal. There's a path to citizenship.
Right.
It is a path to citizenship for undocumented workers that come into this country. So if you've followed whatever all their rules are, if you don't have a criminal record and you just come out and you're like, look, I want citizenship. I'm willing to jump through all your fucking hoops to get it. Then you can get there. And Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions went on TV. Well, Jeff Sessions went on TV and lied and said that he was trying to prevent crime and stuff, which, again, as I said, these people can't have a criminal record or they can't be a part of the program. So that's a lie when he says that, which, I mean, Jeff Sessions, you know, he's the big fat racist liar is what he is.
Yeah, scuzzbag, overall evil villain, cartoonishly bad person, rotten on the inside.
Rotten on the inside is the best way to explain that guy. God, man, we have somebody right now in a Mennonite church here.
Right, that they're protecting.
They're protecting from ICE, which I mean, I feel like ICE would just walk into the church and drag her out of there, really.
Yeah, I feel now very stupid for talking about this because I don't know exactly what are the rules of a sanctuary city. You know, this is the first sanctuary case in Ohio. And, I mean, I'm down. Like, I'm totally in. I mean, I'm like, well, that's sick if we can just, like, make a sanctuary for somebody, because otherwise we can't do anything we want on government soil.
Right. So here's the first thing I wanted to talk about in regards to this march. This march was announced today, and it was for 5:30 in the afternoon on Ohio State University campus. I think that this is fine for an emergency rally. You know, like, I think that, like, something like this happens, if you think you can get 50 or 60 people to show up to an emergency action, that's fine. But something I was thinking about while I was there was, like, this needs to be like the precursor to something, a march, right? So we need to start to figure out at this point, because once a lot of these people show up to the rally, there's a good chance they've done their thing and they're not going to come to the next thing that happens. And there, I don't think is any next thing planned yet. So I'm actually curious about that. And then I want to talk about, I think Facebook is so tough, but it is the place where we need to make these events for these rallies, that we need to make them viral there. That's the only place. I know it doesn't sound like a lot of people are like, oh, online doesn't matter. If you can make I've seen this here. If you can make something viral, if you can make an event viral on Facebook, 3,000 people will show up to that event. You know, because it gets in every normal person's face because they log in and they see it. Any person that sympathies lie at all on the left or liberal or even centrist, they see something about the Dream Act and coming out and standing with immigrants. And it's got like 3,000 people saying that they'll be there that have marked interested or going. I think that is like, that's how you make these actions successful. That's how you make these things big. My problem is, how do you even go viral on Facebook? Like, how do you make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, you need a long-term plan, and there needs to be roadmaps. I mean, it is a lot of, like, goal setting, and it's not as simple as just saying, like, hey, we're going to go march. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have a message planned, and it needs to be something that's meaningful to people. It does have to be timely, though. Like, I think it does, it has to be, it has to capture, it seems like we can really capture the moment right now of our anger. When it comes to protesting,
right? And what I'm thinking is like, so you get this emergency rally that we had today, right? We had an emergency rally today. This should be the jumping off point to try to make a viral. You got 60 people there. We're gonna make this event that's gonna happen this weekend because people can show up on the weekend. If you say Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, or if it is during the week, make it at 7 or 8.
No, you can't. Yeah, and stop with the dinner time shit. I will never come into something at 5 and 6, man. I gotta make dinner.
Mr. Family Values over here, yeah. Can't make it.
I can hang out until 4:30, then I gotta go home and make dinner, and then I'm available at like 6. At 6.
Yeah, you're more like you're there for the daytime. That you do the Meals on Wheels and the Planned Parenthood stuff because that's like non dinner hours time.
Yeah,
5:30 is rough too because it's rush hour.
Wrenching the gears.
It's rush hour too. 5:30, but that's the thing. I don't want to see momentum go down for this because this is important. And we have somebody in a church that we know is in a church. And it seems like what we need to be talking about organizing now is putting our bodies between ICE and that church. You know, that seems to be a good place to start. And they had about 100 people show up this morning for the press conference, which I didn't know was happening because I'm fucking stupid and I never know when anything's happening.
Well, I believe Central Ohio Worker Center is doing most of the support for the family, right?
I actually can't figure that out. I can't figure out what the whole thing. I don't know exactly what's going on at the Mennonite church. But if you're in Columbus... And you know how we can be of service at the Mennonite Church. I'd be proud to go there and help out. I just kicking people out of the country is something that really, I mean, that resonates with me. That is like police state type shit, you know. And I hate the fucking police state. That's that's the main thing that we're over here railing against, right?
Yeah, you're right. I had seen the event. I had seen the event yesterday for the first time, and I did feel it was pretty important. And I felt like a shit heel for knowing that I wasn't gonna go. I was like, "It's just too short a notice. We're doing preschool stuff that day, and if I just had a week to plan ahead for this, I would have felt better about
4 days."
Yeah.
4 days. I'm telling you, I really think that emergency rallies are really important for Columbus, Ohio. Maybe not as important as maybe for like because in Chicago, an emergency rally will be 500 people. And that is worth doing. I think for here, we need to do this needs to be organized. And the reason I think I'm even talking about this on the show right now is that I would love it if people. If you think that Brett and I can help with turnout at this thing, I think both of us would really want to do that. We just don't know. I don't think either one of us understands how any of this stuff works. We've talked before in the past about like, we have kind of a popular radio show. We could probably make the event and make it happen. But I don't know if we could. I don't know who makes these events. How do we get these to happen? All I can do is promise to be there, I guess. And I know that it's stupid, right? That I'm afraid to make the event is what I'm saying.
No,
like, sounds like I'm afraid to make the event. I'm terrified to make the event is what I'm saying.
Well, we could pull it off. I mean, it just takes some planning ahead. I mean, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to say, I want to try to accomplish a successful march, and I'm going to try a lot of different things. Well,
when you say it takes a lot of time and a lot of planning, you only have 3 or 4 days, I think, for any news cycle for it to make sense in any news cycle, because they'll move on, dude. We're going to move on in 3 days. This is, if we don't keep the pressure up, we're going to move on and forget. And the people that are going to be affected by it are the vulnerable people, and they're going to be the ones that get fucked out of this deal, because we're lucky enough to not have to be able to move on every time the next outrage happens. And that's been a real hard thing with this presidency, really, is like, God, I'm like outraged every day about everything he does, but I don't want to do multi-purpose marches. I want to march for these Dream Act people. That's who I want to, I want to focus my time on that now.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and I would say, well, here's what I think about it, because we were talking about IWW stuff as well, which I don't have any room to critique, but here it goes. I feel like there is a lot of tools that we can use, and if this sanctuary thing is successful for this case, it's something that can be replicated over and over again, and we have a response to somebody that may be in trouble, you know?
Get him in a church.
Yeah. If that's what it takes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's going to be until we can figure something else out, you know.
Get him in a non-Joel Osteen church, because he ain't letting anybody in those doors.
That wouldn't be open anyways.
He was asking for money from the people that were there at the service. He said, you know, you could always just toss me some money too. It's like, damn, dude. Did you see that story yesterday? I guess we can. Well,
I had one more thing.
Okay, yeah.
The other one is that I also think that, like, I know the IWW is also kicking up dust here in Columbus too, and I really want to help if I can. And I think that the best idea, once again, would be to have them be known as a place to any of your grievances at your job, wherever you're at. Like, we could deploy a whole group of people that will raise hell for you, like on your behalf, you know, if you want to do it. Like, if you know, if you have something that, you know, is injustice.
Right. Yeah. Do you see the Target that walked out for somebody made a sexual harassment claim, and they fired the person that made the sexual harassment claim. So everybody at the Target walked out, did a wildcat strike.
They've been on it for almost a week, I believe.
That's incredible.
See, and that's the type of stuff we need. And this is dangerous stuff, because you realize the very real power that you have if everybody walks out. Like, not if you don't have to have like a t-shirts and a bowling league and shit to be in a union and act together. You can just say all agree that that's fucked up, and if you put it all on the line, they're gonna back off.
We all know this person. You know, I know this person. Why'd they fire this person? And like, any action that gets a person who's fired their job back, I think is a ridiculously successful action that in the end, and I think that's why the companies fight so hard against giving the person's job back. But in the end, that's the most powerful thing you can do. That is like, that's some real, an injury to one is an injury to all shit right there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's worker protections that are just basic and things like this Target, like sexual harassment is just like, I mean, if I hear that story and I'm just a man on the street and I'm like, people's up in arms because the manager at Target is sexually harassing people, I'm like, well, God damn it, they better do something about that then. I'm certainly not mad at the workers for refusing to go work with a sexual harasser.
Yeah, and the store's probably still open with managers running the registers and doing a poor job of it, you know? And you can also say that, like, man, you know, if I was an employee, every once in a while I'd go in there and be like, hey, kind of sucks doing all this work without us, doesn't it? Kind of shows how important we are here. I mean, more wildcat strikes are a huge thing to me, because like, a lot of the unions bargain away their workers' ability to strike and things like that, where it's like, well, two unions did.
And you know what, also, I think one way to help these things go viral is if you do end up sharing this stuff, you need to explain why you're there. Like, if you're a Twitter expert, you can do it at 140 characters or less. Or if you're just used to writing in a diary, just write a fucking blog on Facebook. But I think that we need to humanize as much as we can the folks that are out there and standing up for this stuff, because we have a slew of media that is out there selling people the idea that it's just degenerate, you know, losers that want to burn down the entire world, you know, that are out there are pissed because Hillary Clinton lost, and we want to make everybody, you know, listen to our liberal agenda.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right too. Explaining why you're there and what you stand for, because that's also hard to do. I'm just there to show solidarity with undocumented workers or undocumented people, not just workers. Like, their families are also undocumented, but that's what I'm there to show solidarity. But that maybe is just as easy to tell somebody, like, you know, these people are human, and I'm here to show solidarity. Before we get off of the Dream Act stuff, also, I'd like to refer you to Rokeya Shamsuddin's Twitter feed today, where she talked a lot about how a lot of liberals and even a lot of leftists are boiling it down to an economic argument, and we gotta stop doing that. You know, we gotta stop with the, like,
what's the economics?
That, you know, people that wash dishes are doing jobs that people won't do. It just dehumanizes the people. It doesn't fucking matter what their job is. It doesn't matter what
they
do.
That's got to change.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter what they do. They deserve to be here because they're fucking here. That's why.
Right.
You know? I don't understand. I know that that's such a rude, like the way we talk about the minimum wage, Brett, where we're like, the minimum wage should be $15 an hour. And then people are like, oh, well, what about this? And you're like, well, the minimum wage should be $15 an hour. And they're like, well, what about like this? And you're like, well, let me just say this. The minimum wage should be $15 an hour. Like, why? Because it should. That's a living wage, and that's what people need. That's why it should be $15. Now, I'm not going to give you a list of pros and cons for this. We're not making that list. I'm saying that if you're working for somebody for 40 hours a week, you should make a minimum wage with benefits.
Right, right.
Like, then a lot of these arguments are that, you know, it's like, it's not a nuanced argument why we shouldn't be separating people from their family and sending them to countries where, in some case, they've never been to in their life, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but people buy into that. I mean, that's one of those unshakable things. I don't know. I don't think that a lot of people can see it any differently, but they really buy into the invisible lines.
But could we as the people on this side not make that argument?
Oh, you know, that's, I don't know who's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's probably mostly like lib type peoples, you know, like, really, because they will be like, they're, look, I'll use conservative logic to get at them.
I wouldn't clean up my house. It's like, whatever. Stop, please.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I don't need your help. Yeah. Just show up. Do what I do. Show up to the rally and shut up and just be another body.
Listen,
there, okay?
Listen. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's be another body. You don't have to listen. I mean, you should. You should listen, but just
listen to Street Fight Radio while you're there. Just plug in your headphones and kick back and listen to the archive of Street Fight Radio.
That works. That works. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I feel like we gotta bring somebody on. We butchered that. I don't know. We don't know anything about that thing.
I mean, yeah.
We don't know
anything
about
it. Nobody is coming
here
to get educated on a Dream Act, though.
I don't think so.
A solidarity thing. I was there. I don't think people should be kicked out of the country. I'm an anarchist, so I don't even believe in the country anyway.
Right.
So I just, people are being separated from their families. That's what I know. I know that there are people that have been here since they were fucking 10 years old that they're going to send to Mexico and just be like, I don't know what to do. I haven't been here. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. This so, isn't my life.
And I know that that's an injustice. Man, did I get sent a lot of cop stories this week. Cops is in the news this week. They're really in the news.
They always be.
They are on their worst behavior lately.
Yeah, I mean, the videos now that are rolling out are just relentless. Just relentless.
Donald Trump really does got them feeling like life. You know what I mean? He's got them feeling like all the confidence in the world.
I saw a pair of deck chairs, you know, like the Adirondack style chairs.
Yeah,
the big wood ones. like planks of wood. They look, usually you see them in like beachy areas.
Yeah.
Fun
yeah.
colors.
Yeah.
They had the back of it cut out to look like the Punisher skull. Two of them sitting in front of their house. This is
did it have, were they black with a blue line down the middle of them?
They were not painted. They were not treated yet. So maybe they're going to get primered and then they're going to get the thin blue line. That's what I'm guessing, but I was astonished.
Man, we had a conversation in the car on the way back from Atlanta about when we were younger. You would drive around and get high. You would put a Fraternal Order of Police sticker in your back window. And they would, apparently, urban legend has it that they won't fuck with you. I don't necessarily believe that if you look like Brett and I, that they're not going to fuck. Or like if you're a black person or if you have neck tattoos, they're probably still going to fuck with you. But it's like a good kind of shield. And
my friend's mom did.
Yeah. Well, fuck. My friend's
dad did. It was perfect.
Dad
did. Her name was Peg. And she was the FOP booster, and she had all the stickers for every year she gave money.
Well, they used to send them in the mail. They used to send this pre-send the stickers in the mail and have a suggested donation thing on it. So you already had the sticker, but you didn't have to. Who does that? Why would they do that?
I think at that point they had figured out that everybody that put the sticker on there was actually doing illegal shit. So it was like basically... an alarm bell to tell on yourself.
Yeah. So now it seems like you could put a Punisher sticker on the back of your car.
Yeah.
Or an American flag with a thin blue line on it. I don't want to be showing support to them, but if you're riding dirty, that might be, maybe you could get a magnetic one.
What if you had, if you got like a wallet with the Punisher skull on it, and then you were like, let me get my license, and you just like flash the wallet, and you're like, I'm into punishing, man. I know a little thing about justice. Some people have to be punished.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can get things done in this disgusting hellhole.
The Punisher logo has become...
I know.
We're paying it's weaponized. We're paying so much attention to Pepe when we should be looking at the Punisher logo.
That's true. There's more hate crimes that have been committed with a Punisher logo involved.
Yeah.
There's more Punisher logo tattoos out there that are on dangerous people.
I see Punisher Ohio State the Ohio State Punisher. Do you see that one around town a lot?
I've not seen an Ohio State Punisher yet.
They'll put the scarlet and gray lines through the Punisher's head, and it'll be like an Ohio State Punisher. They sell Blue Lives Matter Punishers. There's no left Punishers.
No, there needs to be a anarcho-syndicalist.
The Punisher symbol really is like, I want to punish people. I hate everybody.
Yeah.
And like, it's a symbol. And it's so telling that the police departments have all decided that that's their new symbol.
It's shocking. It's really shocking that that they can live with that kind of twisted mentality.
Yeah, Frank Castle. All of our cops are Frank Castles. Like, yeah, man, you know, I go out there, I write a couple of tickets, I see myself as the Punisher, really. I punish scum.
Yeah.
And he's writing a ticket for some college student that jaywalked on the first day of classes. I'm punishing all this scum in these streets. Like, even the Punisher, look, the politics of the Punisher are probably fucking terrible. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah, he didn't give them due process, I believe. It was not up to American standards of justice.
But the Punisher was really killing scum. Like, they make
sure. Yeah,
sure.
He was baddies. They were baddies. They were guys that would shoot a machine gun off in a playground.
Yes. They were kid killers and stuff. Like, the Punisher.
He's like a Dexter.
Yes.
He's like the first Dexter.
He was just always punishing, like, the right people. When he punishes, he takes his punishing seriously. You know, like, he's punishing human traffickers and shit like that. It's like, all right, well, you know. But the cops, that's not what they're doing. You know?
No.
They're harassing people on the side of the road, and they have a Punisher. That police department with the Punisher skull on the cars, and that they use tax money to get that Punisher skull.
Oh, well, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's part of running a successful police department. You got to have, like, the type of visual propaganda in place to exert your dominance.
I was trying to give the people a little bit of morale, you know? A lot of people want to be Superman. A lot of people want to be Batman. I want to be the Punisher. I'm really into the goddamn Punisher.
All y'all in the city want to get lovey-dovey with the criminals and shit. We like being safe around here, okay? Okay? They want to know the cops are fucking badass. That's why we put the Punisher on there. Dummy?
God, they could have picked Superman. Like,
Superman's, yeah, man.
But Superman is good. He fell out of favor. All the time, he's 100% good.
Superman's still going.
One. Superman's 100% good, right? He's always good. He's always trying to be on a good
team.
That's
true,
right?
Yeah.
Number two, he only protects people. Whole job is protecting people.
Right.
He's not out beating up. Like the Batman shit. He ain't down with that. He's not like, I'm going to go beat up a mugger. You know what I mean?
He doesn't get a hard-on from beating up somebody in an alley the way the Batman does.
Yeah. And he's tough. He's tough. He'll fuck you up if he punches you. You know what I mean? These motherfuckers could have picked Superman. Instead, they picked the guy that doesn't have any superpowers. And his fucking, just his whole superpower is having like a bunch of guns and bombs, and he just fucking murders everybody he sees. Yeah. That's who they chose.
A completely heartless individual.
I know. That basically looks at the streets as flowing with scum.
He ripped his own heart out. And he bought a lot of guns.
God, I wish Taxi Driver came out now just so... Like, we need to reboot Taxi Driver.
That's a good idea.
Conservatives can all fucking be like, oh, you know who I like? That Taxi Driver, Travis Bickle. Now, that's a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've been sharing a meme lately with this fucking Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men giving a speech.
Yes.
And they're just like, every snowflake and lib needs to see this. It's like, well, he had somebody killed. He had a troop killed. Like,
yeah, he was the bad guy in this movie. Like, we were supposed to have we were supposed to distrust him and dislike him as a viewer in this movie.
I don't think they know that.
They miss that
stuff.
Like,
it's just so much of them not knowing they're the bad guys is so weird to me. Like, I feel like they watch a movie like The Avengers and they rooted for the fucking aliens to destroy the city. They were like, well, that city it's LA and there's a lot of libs and it's immoral there.
You never know what they're going to do anyway, so they just tricked them.
They're just never on they're always on the wrong side of politics, right? The mean side. They always choose the mean side of politics. And now it's starting to fucking come to light that they watch movies and whoever's the meanest is who they like. You know what? You know who my role model is? Anton Chigurh.
Yeah.
He liked to walk softly and carry a big stick, just like Theodore Roosevelt did.
Yeah, he knew how to make an impact. It's tough because you just... Also, you see when they really sit in it, and it sucks when you lose them into like the quicksand of shit where they're like, I know you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear me say that, you know, I won't respect somebody's pronouns, but it's another day and I just had my coffee. You know, like, let's fight all day about it.
That movie about that wonderful American industrialist called There Will Be Blood, that Daniel Plainview. Oh, loved him. He killed his dumb snowflake son right there on the bowling alley at the end. Like, they don't understand anything, I don't think. Like that song. They like Leroy Brown from that song Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah, they were looking up to him. They were him. That's like, it was a song about me. I'm Leroy Brown.
In the song Living on a Prayer, they like Gina's boss at the diner. Like, well, goddamn, man.
Who's going to cover her shift? Guys, cut this. Turn this off. Who's going to cover her fucking shift? This is too reckless.
They're just the worst. Just the so wrong. We need to tell them that maybe we need to, when we release a movie about any kind of politics or anything like that, maybe we just label who the villains and who the good guys are supposed to be on the poster.
Right, just put tags on it. Yeah. Some sort of like a story assisted, like yeah. story assisted thing.
Like a subtitle. This right. guy is the bad guy.
Right.
The director's trying to tell you that this guy is probably not a good guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Not this isn't somebody you're supposed to look up to just because they gave a speech that you 100% agree with politically.
Right. Yeah. The guys in Boiler Room were like robbing people's retirements and shit. Yeah. Those aren't your role models.
Oh, they love them though. They were like, hey, you know, in capitalism, we need a laissez-faire economy, you know? I saw a bunch of conservatives today on one of my Facebook groups, Brett, trying to explain why the minimum wage should be $0.
I love that one.
Every one of them dumb. Every single one of the arguments was like, oh, God, you just don't know anything. So a lot of cop stuff here. First, I want to bring up something that Reed Wright Knapp shared with me from the Washington Post, if it'll let me look at it through not the paywall. The headline for this flipped me out a little bit because it's falsely accused of satanic horrors. A couple spent 21 years in prison and now they're owed millions.
What?
So these people, here it is. This country hasn't, so here's this. It's basically about satanic panic, which was in the 90s. There were these periods of panic where like the West Memphis Three, remember? The motherfuckers got locked up in that satanic panic where just people were like, oh, this guy definitely murdered these kids because he likes Marilyn Manson or whatever it was at the time. I think it was like Cannibal Corpse or something.
Yeah, Sally Jesse Raphael, Geraldo, Ricky Lake, all of the talk shows, all of the news media. There was also a focus on people that were having like remembering like being brought up in satanic cults too, like being hypnotized and then like having these memories that come back from when they were children and they were, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fad.
Well, here, this country hasn't seen anything like it since the Salem witch trials, Texas Monthly wrote in 1994 in a profile of Austin daycare operators Dan and Fran Keller, who had been thrown in prison 2 years later. The Kellers had been convicted of sexual assault in 1992. Children from their daycare center accused them variously of serving blood-laced Kool-Aid while wearing white robes, cutting the heart out of a baby, flying children to Mexico to be raped by soldiers, using Satan's arm as a paintbrush, burying children alive with animals, throwing them in a swimming pool with sharks, shooting them and resurrecting them after they'd been shot. They were hardly the only people to be accused by children during the panic. Many were exonerated long ago, like the 20 people wrongly convicted in the infamous Kern County sex abuse cases. Some now blame the phenomenon on a quack cadre of psychotherapists who were convinced that they could dig up buried memories through hypnosis. But the Kellards suffered for decades. They served nearly 22 years in prison before a court released them in 2013.
Because some fucking quack got some people to say that they
threw kids at a pool with sharks. Like that's one of the things. It's like some of the things that I just read there were not normal things, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that. I think there'd have to be some sort of evidence of that. Maybe some phone calls or police investigations.
Serving blood-laced Kool-Aid. Now, the reason, that, of course, me being selfish, I was like, oh, great, you know. We do a show recently in Atlanta, and we have Antifa tabling at the show. 2 days later, they could call them a domestic terrorist group. And now you've just reminded me that another part of my brand is Satanism. And I'm like, I don't want to go to jail for 22 years. I don't want to make every one of my weird brand intersections something that's going to get me thrown in a jail cell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to do that either. I don't want to have any stories come up.
They accuse these people of cutting the heart out of a baby.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty intense. Like where is the baby?
Yeah, they've been fully exonerated though. And this week the Austin American-Statesman reported they were awarded $3.4 million from a state fund.
Pittance.
Yeah, no.
Free everything for life. Give them that black card.
Make these motherfuckers mayor. They should make them the mayor of Austin at this point.
I would like just build a gigantic warship and rain terror on that city.
You'd turn into the Punisher.
Yeah.
I'd turn satanic. I'd start cutting people's... I'd cut this judge's kid's heart out right now. Drink fucking Kool-Aid laced with blood, children.
You know what? Thanks for letting me out.
but you need to be punished.
God, man. They always get, they just try to pay them off. They're 67 years old. They got sent to prison when they were in their 40s.
Good golly. Oh, fuck me.
Why does it take this long to exonerate somebody for that?
No one wants to admit that they were all like, it was kind of like going and seeing a hypnotist at a nightclub. I was just kind of feeling it. I was just kind of feeling it, you know?
Well, and
I thought, in my mind, I really did see them throw that baby into a shark's mouth.
And
I can see it.
And this is where I feel like this is why I'm not, I guess maybe why I'm not patriotic, is that like how they talk about when patriotic people tell you that our system is so genius because it moves slowly and deliberately. So we make sure that we make the right decisions. Well, two people spent 22 years in prison for feeding babies to sharks. I mean, there needed to be a way to not like, to get them out, to just be like they didn't, you know, right. For somebody to be like they.
Hold on. Obviously. Hold on. I'm just writing down what everybody says in this courtroom, but you cannot just throw them in jail because a hypnotized person said they threw a baby into a shark's mouth.
Yeah. Fucking speed this up, man. Speed this up. So in October, on October 20th in New York, we're going to be doing a show on the occult. I guess this is a good time to plug that.
Yeah, get ready, folks.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll throw a baby in a shark's mouth at the show.
I think that never seems know. Customary.
We'll bring some Kool-Aid, blood-laced Kool-Aid into the show. We'll do fucking one of our satanic rituals there.
We are that is going to be the zine. If you sign up this month on October 1st, when that charge goes through, you're going to get that tarot card zine.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the better zines. I got I got fucking pros in this zine, too. You should sign up before October 1st because you're going to get a zine with Will Menaker is going to be in there. We got somebody writing spells. We got Aubrey Sitterson, I believe, who is he's a fucking pro. This motherfucker wrote G.I. Joe. You know what I mean? We're going to have a guy that writes G.I. Joe write about the occult for us. So that's and 22 a tarot card deck, a Street Fight tarot card deck.
Just the major arcana, the fun ones.
The major arcana?
Yeah.
Is there like how many cards are there for
108?
Real? 108. No, we're only going to do like 22 88? Of
them. Is 88 or 108?
88 is the Hitler sign. I don't like that at all.
I think of it as the Quentin Tarantino Crazy 88.
No, well, the Quentin Tarantino coincidentally named the Crazy 88s after Hitler.
I can see that.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this cop shit, man. Thanks for the story, Reed Right Knapp. You gave us a lot of ideas for our October live show.
Yeah, we can really punch it up.
I'm just right. We need to be able to just open the prison door when someone's exonerated is really what I'm trying to get at. That part, you hear about these things and it's like the second that they're exonerated, you need to let them out of that place. What the fuck, man? Why are they sitting in jail for 22 years? Nobody thought to check on them. Nobody, like, I can guarantee they were appealing the whole time, you know?
The West Memphis 3 got off too.
Yeah.
Which I never thought would happen.
I didn't either. That was one of the first things that really truly radicalized me to like left causes because I grew up, and again, a satanic kid, man. I loved fucking Satan. I was a dark, I still am like a dark, I love like Satan. I like pentagrams. I like fucking dark shit. I like skulls and I like music that sings about, like, my favorite line in a Marilyn Manson song is when he says, I went to God just to see, and I was looking at me, saw heaven and hell were lies. When I'm God, everyone dies. It's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm a dark fucking dude. I can't help it. I don't dress like a goth, but I guess I'm basically a goth, you know?
Yeah, I fucked with the trench coat mafia hardcore.
You did. I know. Because guys like us just like dark shit. You know what I mean? It's scary. It's like, ooh, fuck. What if I tell everybody I'm into Satan? Then they're going to be worried about me. That's just the funny thing that people do. And I'm really into Satan. So.
Yeah, and if you just say I'm inviting Satan into my heart in a room full of people, it gets a really good reaction.
You could get a pop. My brother used to fucking buy people's souls off of them. Actually, and he would make him write it down, and he would keep them in his wallet. It scared the shit out of people.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, shout out to Lauren, who's been on the show a couple times. I just saw she had on her Instagram a picture of her box of souls. I remember her collecting a whole bunch. And I used to write on the back of my papers. I would say, like, if you sign the reverse of this, I get your soul. And then I would get the teacher to sign it and then try to claim their soul.
We're going to jail now. We're going to be in prison for 22 years.
Yeah. I remember witchcraft where they just stole my soul.
You did. You were fucking rude. You stole it. Like, that's not fair.
I tricked people out of their fucking souls.
Yeah, you are Satan. That's like what Satan does.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I would be good. I mean, if we just go for like the free market, like I'll get by, but I'm gonna have to fight dirty.
Yeah, that was my trickster. My brother's whole thing was like, anytime, like, so he was the oldest person in my crew, so usually I could be like, hey man, can you go buy me alcohol? And be like, well, yeah, I can, but I'm going to need something in return for it. Give me your soul. Or like somebody would bum a smoke off of him and he would just do it. And I always kind of admired it. I've never owned a soul.
I'm about to start collecting. We could get a babillion of them at these live shows, dude. We'll float into heaven on a fucking chariot made of souls.
Hey. Why don't you take the ticket for the October live show? We'll make a physical ticket, make people sign it when they come in. Boom. You got all them souls.
A whole bunch of souls.
Yeah. That is cool, though. Buying souls is, I mean, selling. But that's a good way to get pops out of people, too. You know, that's like, that's how you scare people, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so... The Satan stuff is usually just people being edgelords like me.
Yeah, we're the Alice Cooper of comedy.
I want to be. I really do. I really, really do. So let's get into some cops behaving badly stuff before we get out of here, you know?
I would love that. Buy that on VHS.
You would? Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about is a video they could include in there. Did you see the cop beat up the nurse?
Yes, that was on every possible channel. I don't see any. I never saw any sort of defense of it.
I saw one today by Citizens Daily, I think is what it was. But somebody, I saw people on a lot of the conservative groups. 90, like if there were 100. If there were 100 comments, 4 of them would be like, well, she should have probably just listened to the police. He is just a passionate man trying to do his job. But most people were like, and I saw a lot of conservatives say this, and this is something that a lot of them feel too. Like, don't feel fooled. Like, these rednecky conservatives in the suburbs and stuff like that or in the country, a lot of them hate the fucking police. They just... for some race through racism will defend them at every chance that they get. But a lot of them were like, this is the kind of shit I hate from the police. Always on some kind of a power trip. It's some nerd from high school on some kind of a power trip. And you're like, yeah, I know.
Okay, they're almost there.
Yeah. And you're like, fuck, if you could just realize that all of them are that, then we'd be set.
Yeah. I mean, that's the critique. I haven't seen any. I honestly saw the video. The video was shit. I mean, it was shitty, and it was instantly damnable. Like, I think everybody was like not on board for it.
Yeah, I think my takeaway from that video, for the way that I felt about that video, was like, imagine that, like, your fucking job, that you think it's your job, that when somebody's unconscious and laying down at the hospital, your job is to go in there and try to get them in trouble. Like, that's what you're, that's like, you're not, that is not a person that's helping people. That's like not a person that's serving. They're a completely not a helpful person at all. Like, they want to just go in and get this person's blood. Like, that's what this cop thinks he has to do. Oh, this person was in a car accident. I think we have to go in there and maybe get a little jar of their blood. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's a public servant, right? He's got to get those charges for all of us, right, to make money.
Oh, thank you, officer, for roughing up a nurse and trying to take an unconscious person's blood.
Right. Yeah, I think, I mean, you really got to crack this case. It's imperative. Like, there's his his blood isn't going to have any sort of chemicals or alcohol in just a few hours from now when he's not fucking knocked out.
Well, and they got, a lot of people are framing this as a bad apple, right? But if you look at the video, there's three other cops watching him do it. So it's like either the bad apples have all the power or they're all bad apples. What's going on here? Which, yeah. I understand. Honestly, if I want to be a human about this and look into those three cops' minds, he's a detective and they just don't want to fucking get in trouble for being the guys that... For being the guys that stood up to the detective, you know, like a lot of the guys that stand up to the cops, a lot of the guys that end up standing up to the dirty cops end up losing their fucking jobs too, you know.
Do you have the video in there of that guy that fucking body slammed that dude at the convenience store?
I didn't see the video of the guy that body slammed a dude at convenience store. What happened there?
It was a really weird situation where the cop was provoking the shit out of this guy, like, do something, man, in his face, just like yelling and shit, and the guy's like, I'm just trying to get my shit. And the cop pushes him out into the street and he goes inside, and the guy is just trying to buy cigarettes or do some sort of transaction. And this guy is so fucking pissed that he just grabs the dude from behind and does like a suplex on him. Like a kind of a German suplex.
Like a German?
Like a guile.
Like, okay.
And
I mean, is there context to what ended up happening? I can look for cop body slams guy and see if I can find that. I didn't see it. I'm not up on all of my cop body slamming people stuff.
But I gotta tell you, you know what? Like, there's been times in my life that I do want to fight with people, and I go to the bar to fight with people, and then there's people that I hang out with that like to fight too. And I still do not, like, I cannot sit on the sideline and not try to de-escalate the situation. And like on those videos, when you watch the cops that are around, when one of them's going wild, like they're just like, their eyes are just darting around. Like they don't have any say in the matter. Like they can't be like, chill the fuck out, dude. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. They don't even do the like, you're right. They don't even do the like, hey, fucking chill out, man.
That's what was weird. There was another guy on video when I was watching this video, and the other cop was just like, man, get out of here. Get out of here with that video. And he like shoved the guy out with the video. And it was really fucking odd, man. Because it was like, your partner would not leave this fucking guy alone. He could have just let this guy go on his way. You know, and he would have been gone and it wouldn't have been an issue. But this cop felt so disrespected. He was like so hurt. His like ego was so bruised that he body slammed this dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I've seen that shit before. And I think that like they should. I don't understand why people hold them to this thuggish standard. People just think if they're a little loose with. You know, they're doling out justice. They're like the Punisher. You know, they can bruise some people. You know, they can break some elbows. They can accidentally knee somebody in the groin.
And if you're out in the street, you deserve. If you're right. out in the street dicking around, then you might have to understand that the cop's going to fuck you up. You know, go hang out in your goddamn house and watch American Horror Story and order chilies from Uber Eats if you don't want to get beat up by the police. Okay. That's the argument, I guess, or like sit in your Punisher branded Adirondack chairs on the front porch and the police aren't going to body slam you. Like we do have to, one of those things that you hear a lot is like, we're being asked to de-escalate situations with people, with the police we're not trained. They're the one that's goddamn trained to de-escalate situations, but they ask black men to basically de-escalate the whole situation. Like, look, you know, you're a black guy, they're probably going to shoot you. You need to put the hands up and stuff like that. That's how they talked with like Philando Castile, right? Was like, oh, you know, he should have been able to, he was acting suspicious. And it's like, fuck, dude, how do I not get shot? You know, like if you pulled me over and I said, how do I not get shot? Then that might be like they would take that as a thing where they would pull you out of the car and probably kick your ass. Did you see the cop in Georgia that got fired for saying, you know, the woman pulls up and he's like, what, you're shaking over there, what's going on? She's like, well, I'm nervous. And he's like, don't worry, we only shoot black men. Like, and yeah, they caught him on camera. He was cutting loose. He was doing his tight 5 minutes of stand up for this lady.
Like he's practicing his cop monologue for the policeman's ball.
Yeah, he's out there doing his fucking jokes on the side of the road and he gets caught and people are like, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. And I'm like, I'll bet that's that guy's standard fucking line when he pulls some, but that's how he makes
he ingratiates himself to folks.
That's how he makes white people feel comfortable when he pulls them up. Ah, don't worry about it, we only shoot black men. And then most of the time the other person probably is like, okay, I feel more comfortable, this cop's racist, then I can call him out on it at least. But man, that was fucking wild too. They're just showing their asses. With Trump in office, I feel like somebody, Michael Moore, brought up that like cops are it's not right to say that cops just started going crazy when Trump got in office. But it does feel like, much like they said about the Klan and they said about these Nazis and shit like that, they seem emboldened where they can be on like some pretty bad behavior out there and they're not going to get in trouble for it, you know? Fuck, he pardoned the Joe Arpaio guy.
Yeah, shit. I mean, they still get away with it. I mean, we don't have any sort of justice for any of these people that have been killed by the police.
No, we don't. We got justice for the nurse. Like, that guy got suspended. I don't know if he got suspended without pay.
What nurse?
The nurse that they roughed up in Utah. That guy ended up getting in some trouble for it. The fraternal order, I haven't heard what the FOP has said. They probably defended him because that's what they do. No matter what. So I got a few more stories here about the police. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. So this is from Trevor Milhouse on Twitter. Sent me this story. And here it goes. All right. A Florida Jimmy John's delivery man was struck while riding his bike by an unmarked... Banner ads are the worst. A Napa ad just pops up. Napa, no hell. That's for my Voices of Wrestling friends that listen to this show.
They want to avoid them sometimes.
I won't go to, that's me. Sometimes I'll be like, I don't want to read the story that much. But I guess they already got the hit at that point.
Or sometimes if it's a Napa that shows up, then I'll be like driving to go get a light bulb. And I'll be like, well, there's AutoZone and Napa across from each other. I guess that's where I know I'm going to.
Yeah, eat it, Napa. A Florida Jimmy John's delivery man was struck while riding his bike by an unmarked police car on Thursday and was arrested and jailed for 12 hours until his mother bailed him out, the Miami Herald reported.
What the fudge?
The Herald reported that Jimmy John's employee Mason Morales threw his bike against the unmarked police car in anger. For the bike toss, he was charged with criminal mischief. The officer called for backup and at least 10 officers showed up to perform their arrest, Morales claimed.
So he got hit. He threw his bike at the police car, which is fair. That's fair.
Fair. I can't
if you
think
hit a,
of...
If you hit somebody on a bike, they can use their bike as a weapon against your car.
I'm going to go with you, man. This is kind of that you're going to get dinged and bruised when you're out in public. If you go to a bar where people get rowdy, you might get punched by somebody at the rowdy bar. You got to be ready for rowdiness. You can't go in there and expect to clean up this town. And much the same way, you can't control somebody's emotions after you've hit them with a car.
Yeah, if you hit me on my bike, I'm going to grab the handlebars. I'm going to drape my bike over my back and swing it over my head like a fucking sledgehammer onto the hood of your car.
Yeah. So the Herald reported that Jimmy John's employee, so he threw his bike, which is a reasonable thing to do. Sure. It's actually a little cool.
Acceptable. Yeah.
Maybe something. I mean, when you have something in your hand and somebody hits you, keep in mind also unmarked police car, which, sure. I mean, for something that's not a joke, we've had people killed in Columbus for jumping out of an unmarked police car and chasing somebody and then they just shoot them, you know? I always forget which person got killed in that way.
Henry Green.
Henry Green got killed that way. They jumped out and did that. So this is a common thing where these cops expect you to know they're a fucking cop, even if they're driving in an unmarked car. Like, maybe they're still carrying around that, like, cop rage when they're still in the car. It said she was also, the cop that hit him was on her phone while she was driving. And
fuck,
he was in plain view. The police department still hasn't responded to the thing, and the guy's kind of in a good place. He was like, I saw she was a cop, so I knew I'd fucked up.
He told her. Which is crazy, right? He didn't fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, he acted like a fucking human being. How was that fuck? How did he fuck up, Brett?
He should have just been not near that car, I guess.
He should have respected that he got hit and showed proper respect to the driver instead of throwing his bike at the car. He acted in anger. And we learned this week on the call-out show that some of the most angry people on the planet are people that ride bikes. They're angry, they're mean, they're actually kind of a menace in a way, you know?
Well, yeah, you have to be to get the respect on the road. That's the only way you can get respect on the road. I'm driving. We're taking my daughter to preschool tomorrow on the bicycles.
Oh, God, you are a hippie.
I know. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
You'll pull up. I mean, most people that go to her school probably are the bicycle types, right?
There, I don't know. One lady was astonished when we said it, but she also had like four kids.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, she ain't gonna throw her kids on a bike.
Right.
You know, I would be astonished because you said it because I'm lazy and I don't want to get up in the morning, the extra early in the morning to deal with it. So, yeah. I guess before we go, I want to cover one thing because it happened in Ohio. The police union in Cleveland is refusing to do the American flag thing. Because the Browns are kneeling for the national anthem. So for some reason, the police don't want to do the national anthem anymore. Fine, if you're not going to watch it, I'm not even going to do it.
They think that that's a big draw for people? Like, come on, guys, stand up. We want to see them do it. What do? They hold flags?
Yeah, they unfurl the big flag for the opening game. Have you ever watched opening day football?
No.
They do a big flag. It's all, and they have the fucking Blue Angels flag. It's a lot of patriotism. I'm going to tell you. Well, it's a lot of nationalism. I don't want to say patriotism because if you watched it, you'd be horrified. It's not like when regular, like, you know, somebody sits down, like, if I sit down with somebody who's just a normal person that doesn't like pay attention to politics all the time, isn't a ridiculous anarchist, they would watch it and be like, oh, this is a heartwarming part where they show all the military stuff. But when I see it, I'm like, it looks like one of those. It looks like one of those Hitler speeches when he's waving his hands around and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Members of unions representing the Cleveland police officers and paramedics have said they won't hold a large U.S. flag during the pregame ceremonies prior to next Sunday's Browns season opener after a group of Browns players knelt during the national anthem before a preseason game last month. Steve Loomis, president of the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, cited his service in the U.S. Navy when he told WKYC-TV he was astounded that the Browns management knew of the protest but allowed it to occur. I'm not going to participate or work with the management that allows their players to disrespect the flag and the national anthem, Loomis said.
So this is like their big move. So they're like, all right, all right, all right, all right. You're going to get on your knees during the pledge. That's your right. I respect that right. Well, I'm going to protest too. Take away the big flag that everybody loves. You have to deal with them now when they don't get the big flag. They love it when we unfurl the big flag.
They'd rather have Aerosmith. I can guarantee.
You think so?
Oh my God.
You think we get an Aerosmith?
You know if you were like, okay.
Close my eyes.
You know if they were like, look, we couldn't get the cops to unfurl the flag, but we went and got Aerosmith. The crowd would be like, all right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cool, sweet emotions, baby.
Okay.
We got it fixed right there. That's the kind of thing. I mean, it's just weird. Like, they act like they're a feature of the football game. Like, who gives a shit if they do the flag?
That is wild for them to step up and be like, well, I mean, it's a formality, and we're here for the game. We're not really, like, the fanfare stuff is not that important to it.
Listen to this. A team spokesman that they had to do this is so funny. A team spokesman issued a statement at halftime that said the organization has a profound respect for the national anthem and the U.S. flag and those who serve in the military. I love when they have to come out and be like, look, before we get heated in here, I'd like you all to know that we have profound respect for the American flag. First and foremost, that is a flag that we respect, okay?
Well, I mean, these are the times, man.
Yeah.
Which side are you on?
Yeah, when I was growing up, we were taught to stand every morning and put our hands over our hearts and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I wonder
and
if
when
do
we
that.
Did that, we typically had someone holding the flag in front of the class. For them to disrespect the flag by taking a knee did not sit well with me. Who gives a shit how you feel? That's why they're doing it. They're agitating, you dipshit. That's what the point is. Can we have a conversation about it without you saying like, oh, I'm not going to do the insanely boring flag ceremony before the season opener?
Well, and they always insist that you have to do it. It's like, stop telling me what to do. Like, I'm kneeling. I don't agree with this, so I'm going to kneel at this part. You can stand up and like be as proud as you like of it, but I'm going to take a knee.
Lucky it's not me. I'd be grabbing my dick at the flag. That's what I'd be doing. I would put my middle finger. I don't want to kneel. I'm hostile to the flag.
Okay? You're spitting mad at the flag?
I'm more hostile. Remember when Roseanne Barr got in trouble for grabbing her crotch during the, like that?
Yeah.
Back then they were crazy about it. Oh, that's disrespectful of this song. Okay, the fucking Francis Scott Key's feelings would be fucking devastated after what she did to this song. These people love this song so much.
Dude, I mean, that's our heritage.
Ugh, their heritage.
That's how we got fast food, man. That's how we got fast food and cheap shoes.
True. I'll agree with you on that.
That's what everybody's tied into, is just like fast food restaurants and big box stuff.
Hell yeah. So the next time you hear from us will be after we've seen ICP.
Yes, that's going down. Entire Hatchet family tomorrow.
Brett gets to see ICP for the first time. I get to see him for the 4,000th. I've seen him a few times. I don't know how many. Probably more than 20. But it's been 10 years. 10, maybe 20 years since I've seen him. I'm very excited about it, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out what clothes I want to get Faygo tie-dyed.
I've been thinking about that. I might have to go to the thrift store and buy a pair of pants because I don't want my damn jeans to get messed up by the Faygo, and it will happen. You get a lot of Faygo on you, especially when you're like Brett and I and you get in a mosh pit, because we're not cowards. That's why we get in there.
I just want to open up my mouth and have Red Pop just sprayed into it.
Well,
or pineapple.
Your dreams are good. It's usually root beer and cream soda.
Okay.
I mean, cream soda is the best one.
That's a great one. That's a great choice.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate those of you that do, and especially those of you that support us. If you don't know yet, we have a extra bonus feed. You can add it right to your iTunes or podcasting apps. If you go to patreon.com and sign up for that, the $1 level, you can get audio, $3 level, videos, $5 level, our zine, $10 level. We have a new feature, the Zine Club, where you'll receive our zine as well as some other radical zines from Microcosm Publishing, which has a lot of interesting stuff. I just sent out a bunch of rewards. They were a little bit delayed because I was waiting for this order, but the Zine Club is really cool. And we also have Kratom on there. If you don't know anything about Kratom, get hip to it. It's what makes Brian so good at doing the radio. It's Kratom. So go to bit.ly/sfkratom. to check out the current selection from our favorite supplier. And wherever you are, spread the word. Tell people what's going down. We will see you later this week. We're Street Fight. Peace.
The world is an ashtray. We burn it cold like your life.
Dallas looking at me. Yeah. Sorry.